Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Good evening and welcome live from the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. Welcome to my home. You know, I'll tell you what, the sun is just now going down right over here. Let's see, right about there. It just started going down behind the Texas Medical Center, and it is going to be a wonderful program tonight. For some reason, my camera is huge tonight, so I got a really big head that wasn't intentional, but we were having a little bit of difficulty right before the program, but I apologize for that. I'll try to maybe fix it during the commercial. We have a program tonight that is going to be one of those that you want to make sure right now you turn off the TV. American Idol, you can tape it. You can do any of that other stuff. Just tape it on your DVR or whatever. But call a friend or two. Text somebody and say, hey, wait, tonight's going to be a special program. I have three people that I consider my friends that I had the privilege and honor of being on a panel with a few weeks ago at the United Against Human Trafficking in downtown Houston. And I literally, when I was sitting there on part of the panel, I started hearing their stories and hearing what they had to say, seeing the quality and the character of the women that we're going to be introducing you to shortly. And I kind of whispered and said, hey, would you all consider being on our program, Breaking the Silence, some Sunday night soon? And the first open date was tonight that I had available. And it's just an honor to have three of those panelists tonight with us. And I'm just going to, we literally just said howdy about 30 seconds before we went live. So we don't have anything pre-planned. I just want you to hear their hearts, what's happened to them, their backstory, what they're doing now, most importantly. And then we want to end the segment this evening about 10 till 9 as we start going into the final lap and land this plane. I want to talk and let you hear from their hearts about what kind of hope they want to offer each of you this evening that's listening in. Now, if you're a parent or a grandparent, just kind of lean into the camera right now and listen to me and take this all in. I want you to know that all three of these young ladies are average Americans that are from communities that all of us live in, drive through, know people that live in, and may live in a home similar to theirs right now. But something happened that literally changed their life. Parents, grandparents, friends, teachers, counselors, whatever, you need to listen to some of the things that they're going to mention to you tonight and how it impacts their life, how it changed their life, and how there's people that you're maybe passing on the street, riding up the elevator at the medical center, seeing a Walmart tomorrow that could be enduring and experiencing something that they're going to be talking about, how they just got out of and recovering from, and they're survivors and victors now of what they've gone through. So I just want you to kind of lean into this and really hear the hearts of the folks that's going to be speaking tonight. I just want to introduce and say howdy to each of you. Nakia Vestal. Nakia, good evening. How are you?
Hi. Hi, I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
Good to have you. Well, I'm glad you're here. We have Heather Smith. Heather, can you hear me tonight?
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Good seeing you tonight. And you are you've had a background of being in the U.S. Army, correct?
Yes.
My son is in the U.S. Army right now in Seattle, Washington. Matter of fact, he's running the Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. If anybody wants to get on there and comment, you're welcome to do that. But I know he's interested in hearing, Heather, what you had to say. And then Rachel Fisher, registered nurse. Rachel, can you hear me tonight?
I can. Thank you for having me.
Wow, you got a little cage around you there. You look very like you're in a sound studio. This is very professional. Good to have you all. And I'll tell you what, let's just go around the horn here. And Rachel, since we just talked to you last, we'll put you first now. Rachel, just tell me a little bit of what you're doing right now, where you live, what you're doing, and then we're going to go back around and do the backstory of everybody. So just give us a little nutshell of what you're involved with now and where you live and what you're up to.
Yeah, so I currently live in Houston, Texas. I came from Detroit, Michigan about 5-6 years ago. And so I am a emergency room nurse, a forensic nurse, and a legal nurse consultant. So I take care of patients when they come to the hospital after assaults or bad things happen. And I collect evidence, testify for them in court. And then I am also a private investigator. So I have my PPO and PI license. So I work with some law enforcement, helping to find missing children, helping with just a multitude of things just to kind of give back. So nursing, and it's basically what I'm doing now.
And then you spend a lot of time in the courtroom, right?
I do. Testifying, yeah. I'm an expert on trafficking, sex assault, DV, strangulation, and medical.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you, Heather. What about you? What's you up to right now?
Well, these days, I was born in Livingston. I currently live in Port Arthur, Texas, which isn't too far from Houston. Right now, I just, you know, spend my time speaking. I am a single mom. I'm also in the process of doing a 501c3 for my nonprofit called Yahweh's Jewels. I also am in the process of searching for a building to try to hopefully, Lord bless, sometime very in the next year or so, open up a women's shelter. So,
fantastic. Okay, and why I have you on? I want to let all three of you know that we eventually here shortly. I want to make sure you have the opportunity to tell everything about how people can get in touch with you, how people can buy what you're selling, how people can support you. You know, what you're involved with, if you have a book or anything like that, and how to get in touch with you if they want you to come and speak. Nakia, fasten your seatbelt, folks, because here it goes. Nakia, tell us, what are you up to?
Well, I'm Nakia. I'm from Tennessee. I was born in Memphis, but I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee. I've been in Houston for about 17 years. I am an entrepreneur. I have my own business. It's called Dollmaker Lashes. And I was just recently featured on CNBC and Black Enterprise Magazine. And I won a small business grant with Verizon. So they're really helping to promote me. So my next step is I'm trying to get my products in like a major department store like Target or Ulta or Sephora. So that's what I'm trying to do. And I also mentor girls that have been trafficked in their life that want to be entrepreneurs. So that's what I do now. I mentor girls that want to get on the pathway of entrepreneurship.
Fantastic. Well, let you ladies know right up front. First of all, I thank you for spending some time with our listeners tonight, and you're being heard completely around the world. I have invited people to listen in this evening that are interested in having some board members on their organizations, and I recommended all three of you highly to all of these organizations and invited them to listen in tonight too to see what you're all about. And so expect possibly a contact from them also to say, hey, would you like to get involved in what they're doing in the area of human trafficking, sexual abuse, and that order. So first of all, just thank you from the bottom of my heart of being here. Heather.
Yes.
Let's go to you. We'll try to take turns in different orders tonight. Tell us in a nutshell what happened to you. And how did this all began in your world that changed you as a human being today? What happened in your past, and how did you get to that point?
Well, I believe it started at a young age whenever I was introduced to drugs. You know, that addiction led me into so many other different situations and aspects of life. Fast forward to a little bit older, I was in a very abusive marriage. Again, I also think that plays a part. That plays a part in my vulnerability, I guess. And then that was 10 years. I joined the military for 4.5 years. I was trying to get away from that situation. Whenever I joined, I wasn't sure. Like, you know, you step off that bus and you're like, oh my God, what did I do? Because, you know, they're like all in your face screaming and you're like, what did I do? But I mean, it was short after that. Like I knew that that's where I needed to be. But I served for 4.5 years. I did go to Iraq in 2009. I served a year over there. I came back in 2010, thank God. And whenever I got out in 2012, I moved to a small town. A lot of people don't know, but it's called Gilmer, Texas. It's up there by Tyler. And whenever I moved out, or when I got out, I went to live with my mom. And I didn't know anybody. I'd never been to that town. And I met this guy that I thought, you know, was a friend. He was a friend for a little bit, and then he turned to the drug dealer. And it was very hard for me transitioning out of the military. I had heard that the whole last 6 months or so whenever I was getting ready to transition out. And my thought process at that moment was, I was a civilian most of my life. How hard can it be to go back to what I knew for 27 years of my life, right? And not to say that they didn't try, but whenever I got out, I was not prepared for that transition back to civilian life. I mean, I woke up every day at a certain time. I lived at home, but I still woke up at a certain time every day. I went to work out. I came home. It was like clockwork every day. So my day was pretty much lined out for me. And then it went to me having all this free time in the world, and I didn't know what to do with myself. I had no clue what to do. And so then I just fell deeper and deeper into the drugs. And him being my drug dealer, him knowing the vulnerability, like, I was so gullible, you know, and I was so lost, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't have any idea what I was doing. I asked for help, and they didn't know how, you know what I mean? They wasn't really sure how to help me, and I wasn't sure how to help myself. So I just ended up going to his house to try to get away from the house. And he ended up, you know, talking me into dancing in strip clubs. And then that wasn't enough. And then it turned into telling me that it was just an escort, going to, you know, escort him to dinner or, you know, fancy parties or whatever it may be. And of course, we all know that's nothing. That was nowhere even close to what it was. And so he forced me into prostitution. That lasted for almost a year between Louisiana, Texas, California. And I got away from him, thank God. And all of that, it was God. It wasn't nobody but God, because the human trafficking was a very small part of my life compared to the addiction and the abuse. But it had the biggest impact on me. It held the darkest cloud over my life. That was the one thing that, I mean, I probably could have shouted everything else out to the world, but that was the one thing that I didn't want anybody to know that, you know, because they hear the word prostitution and they instantly think that I'm out there doing it because I want to do it or because whatever. And so I didn't want to tell anybody that. But I remember the first day I shared my story like it was yesterday, and it was so freeing and uplifting. And I shared my story for the first time on my own personal page on Facebook Live. And it was terrifying. But from that moment, I felt so free. It's like I literally felt it. I felt it just pouring, like just flying off of me. And ever since that day, just everything, I know that everything that I went through was for a purpose, you know, because I could be who I am today and stand here and encourage these women, these men that have a voice, but they just don't realize that they have a voice, because the society teaches us to just shove it under the rug because, oh, you're overreacting. Like, come on, it didn't bother that person. You know, all the different stuff that society tells us. And I was afraid. So whenever that first time I shared my story, it was it. I was unstoppable. You couldn't tell me that I didn't belong on a stage because I knew that that's where I was supposed to be. And now I am the woman that I'm humble. Like, I have so much more compassion and empathy towards people and so much more love and just gratitude. You know, it's just amazing what everything I've been through in my life has turned me into the woman that I am today. I'm very grateful and thankful.
Wow. That's powerful. Nakia, share with me just a little bit, just a nutshell on your background and the story that got you involved.
Okay, it started for me at home at a very early age. I was I'm a product of child molestation on several occasions. And that's what kind of introduced me to sex and opened up a whole world of that life for me. My mom put me out when I was 17, because when I was a teenager, I was very promiscuous. I would leave home. I would go turn dates at 16 years old, you know, like I was out there. And by the time I graduated high school, my mom, she put me out, and I just grew up in a very verbally abusive, household, when you're told you'll never be nothing and you're nothing. And when you don't feel love, you go out there, you're out there looking for someone to love you. And that's what traffickers prey upon. Like, you know, like I was ready for the taking. And so when I left home at 17 with nothing but the clothes on my back. I mean, I didn't even have hygiene products. I didn't even have underwear. I didn't have toothpaste. I didn't have anything. So I just needed a place to stay. That's what really got me out there. And I was just, you know, it was terrible. You know, when you're forced to do things that you never thought you would do in places that you never thought you would be, things that you see that go on TV and it's happening to you. And it just got me into the life of, so I just decided to go renegade, because me and pimps, I know I didn't want anybody controlling my money. I didn't want to be treated like that. So I became a renegade. I was a stripper. I've been in the life. I would work at strip clubs. I would leave with people, you know. I've been trafficked to Nigeria, which I didn't even know I was being trafficked. I just thought I was going to go hook up with rich guys, but I was manipulated, you know. And it's a lot. Like, when I started, we didn't even have the name human trafficking. It was just pimping and hoeing or prostitution. And now that I know there's a name to it, and I look back and I'm like, oh my God, I was trafficked. Like, those guys were my traffickers, you know? So that's kind of what got me in the life. I didn't have a place to go. I didn't have a place to stay.
Okay. Wow. Powerful. Rachel, share with us your story from where you came from.
Yeah, so originally I'm from Detroit, Michigan. So I was born into a family where my father was in a gang and my mother was prostituted by that gang. And so I was taken out at 5 years old by law enforcement, CPS, and put into the foster care system. And so from very young, I already had a dollar sign on my body. Like, I got taken in by a family who brought in children just to get state subsidy money monthly for the kids, and unfortunately to sexually assault them. So there was a lot of, like Nakia said, it starts at home, right? So even in this foster home that was potentially better than where I should have been, there was a lot of abuse that happened, and a lot of stuff that happened just in that home. And then I always thought, okay, I was abandoned, right? So the abandonment issues, my mother was in and out of prison my whole life. She would call me from prison, and my father, I would go to the clubhouse and have visitation with him, my brother. And it was like, I was always torn and I didn't know where I belonged. And so as I grew older, I had this gangland life. And then I had this foster care life where I was with this family and in all these different homes, but yet being sent to a Christian school. So the subsidy, they sent me to a Christian school. So that was my only stability. So the faith, my faith in God was the only thing that was stable in my life. But I was in and out of different homes, trying to just run from the abuse that was happening at home. And then there was an element of labor trafficking as well, because human trafficking is not just sex, there's labor as well. So the adopted mom had a cleaning company that she would have us all of the kids go clean houses for her. She would just take us around and have us clean houses. And that was her side business. And then there was the abuse that happened at home. Cops were to and from the house all the time. And I always got, I've been arrested, like as a juvenile, I was looked at as a delinquent. I was in and out of psych wards, trying to kill myself at 12 years old. Cause there was just a lot of stuff going on and nobody ever stopped and said, hey, why is Rachel's in the principal's office with scratches on her neck? Why is she always like, I was just the bad kid. I was the one with cuts on my wrist and trying to kill myself because I was miserable, but nobody ever stopped to say, hey, she's not just a runaway. What is she running to? Like, what is she running from? Like the street I was running to, and I was literally surviving, like wherever I could stay. I was in the street racing, the biker life. Like I was clubhouse to clubhouse, wherever I could stay, just somebody house me and at least take me to school in the morning. Cause I want to at least graduate. Right. So surviving. And it got so bad with the cops coming and the abuse that I remember one officer saying, you know, maybe you should either be emancipated a minor, or we got to put you back into the foster care system. Cause this isn't working out. And I went on a website. I'm not going to say the name because we don't want lawsuits, but I went on a website and looked for jobs and side gigs. And I found a couple that was offering a modeling career and they offered to build a portfolio. So I grabbed another girl from my Christian school. I said, oh, they're going to take photos for us. They're going to take us to Vegas. We're going to be models. We can make something of ourselves. And as happens commonly with teenagers these days with trafficking, they took photos of us. They didn't build us a portfolio. They posted ads online and they would drop us off to different events and take the money. We never saw the money. And they used that as blackmail, that they would tell our Christian school and that we would never be able to graduate if they knew what was happening. And I had been working at an insurance agency at the time. And one of the ladies saw my ads online and I got looked at as a child prostitute. Like they looked at me as a dirty girl. I wasn't allowed to come to a lot of church events because I was dirty. My first thought was, wait, your husband found my ad online. So you have the problem, not me, girl, that's your husband. So talk to him. But, so I was looked at as, dirty and a delinquent. And so I was so ashamed. And so I hid that part of me and I didn't want anybody to know. And I was just like, yeah, I'll do what I want. And I ended up being homeless and living on the streets again and just living with whoever I could, going wherever I could. And I was just surviving, you know? And then I ended up meeting another guy online that, I got married at 19 years old, really young age, and moved into the middle of nowhere, started over, changed my name, got to a safer spot, but it was just better than it was. I was able to at least go to nursing school during that time and, you know, get a backing under me. But, I got out of that situation and started fresh and here I am.
Well, I've noticed that as each person's talking, everybody else is doing this because they can relate to what you're talking about. And the reason I think you three are great to have on a panel like this is each of you come from a different type of trafficking and abuse. You know, being in a foster home, we would think, and we've had people on here time after time in the last couple of years, we've had a program with foster care saying, hey, wait, we need to revamp our foster care system because there's horrors that are happening behind the doors in the homes of foster parents, and there's abuse going on there. We need to put a high alert. But we can see so many different angles that this comes from. Now, we're going to have to take our first break. On the other side of this, I want each of you during that commercial break, think of the moms and the young ladies and the young men, because I don't want to leave the young men out. I was one of those that are listening right now. And if you could offer them a couple pieces of advice of what to watch for, a red flag alert, how to be aware, just something to open their eyes more to, what would those couple pieces of advice be? And we're going to find out that just on the other side of this first commercial break. If you want to get involved, two different ways to do it. We're Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. It looks like several people are there right now. 888-627-6008. And the awesome people at BBS Radio will say, hey, BBS Radio, and patch you right in. And you can have a question right now when we come back from our first commercial break. Hang with us. We'll be right back. Finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the three-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. Now, this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life, and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. And it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams on the BBS Radio Network. Welcome back. I tell you, during the commercial break, I always grab my phone and see who's texting and what kind of response we're getting. Look at this. This is unbelievable. People texting in and said, wow, they appreciate your courage and they respect you. They applaud you. Thank you for being so strong. And it just keeps going on and on and on. If you want to be involved in the conversation, 888-627-6008. You know, before we talk about what we said we would talk about on the other side of the break. I want to give you all the opportunity now before a rabbit or a squirrel runs out from underneath the bush and I chase it and we go long at the end of the program, they cut us off. But if somebody wants to get in touch with what you're doing, how to get in touch with you and your organization, your Facebook page, your social media page, LinkedIn, whatever it is, I want you to have the opportunity to share that right now. So, Heather, what would be the address or the pages to get in touch with you?
Okay, the name of the Yahweh's
Jewels. Yahweh's Jewels?
Yes.
You cut out. Okay.
You can find it on Gmail. It's the same thing. Yahweh's
Jewels. Okay. And Gmail, yahwehsjewels@gmail.com. Yahweh's Jewels. And the Jewels is with a Z, not an S. Okay, very good. Nakia?
You can reach me at www.dollmakerlashes.com. That's my website, and I have a blog as well. So I post a lot of stuff, and you can buy products or you can book online. And my email address is nakia@dollmakerlashes.com.
You have all kinds of cosmetics and lashes and magnetic things. And
I do everything for lashes, and I have just so much even more stuff coming out. Like, it's the doll. I'm the doll maker. So my ladies are dolls for me. So yes, that's what I am. I'm the doll maker.
Fantastic. And Rachel.
Yeah. So I have a website. It's www.legalrnconsult.org.
I recommend everybody do us a favor, get on those. If they have Facebook pages, if they have web pages and share and like and all, just blow all of these websites up. But just getting on there and letting them know you care and you appreciate them and you were supporting them. We would love for you to do that. So just get on and do that. Rachel, while we have you right here on the screen, and we ask you a question. What would be, and you're coming from a very legal perspective now, and you're testifying in these court cases, what would be a one or two bits of wisdom that you would give young men or women or their parents of what to watch out for, what to be aware of, what's red flags?
Yeah, so that's a whole segment on that. But the biggest thing is it's never too early to start talking to your kids. We always say 8 is great when we're talking about sexual assault, right? So same thing, talk to your kids and create the environment at home where they're willing to come talk to you, where they don't feel like they're going to get in trouble. Create a safe environment where they're okay talking about things that are not pretty to talk about. So create that, foster that at home, because you don't want to be on the defense. You want to be on the offense, right? So that's my biggest tip. The red flags, I mean, there's so many, grades failing, new friends that you don't know about, social media, I mean, their phones, they have hidden apps, they have chat rooms that you don't know about. You click a calculator, you end up talking to a pedophile. Like, there's so many ways. Once you put a cell phone in their hand, you put a gateway into the world. And so monitoring that and finding out, you know, there's so many good resources about cyber, keeping kids safe in the digital age. Street Grace has the Help Locker. There's so many resources. Just find out what they're doing online and try to protect them and be aware of it. Don't be naive to it. Because it's happening in high schools and junior highs mostly. And so that's the biggest advice I can give.
Okay, great. Nakia?
I know for me, I was dressing very provocatively, even at like 11, 12 years old. I wanted to show my belly. I wanted to show skin because I felt like that would get me attention. So that, to me, that's a big red flag. Like a child that's very overly sexual. That's a red flag for me. And also, like what Rachel said, for parents to create a safe space. Don't make your child feel like they're doing anything wrong, or don't make them feel guilty or, you know, the shame, and speak life into your children, because what you speak into your children is what they grow up to become. So that's another big thing. You have to speak life and positivity into your children.
Okay, fantastic. Heather?
My biggest thing I would say is just to pay attention to your children, pay attention to the changed behavior, pay attention to the outbreaks, the outburst, the anger, the sad, the depression. Don't be so quick to brush them off and be like, oh, they're just a teenager. They don't even know what that is. They don't even get it. They're just going through their teenage stuff. Take the time to really, truly hear them out, because if you take that time to really, truly hear them out while they're at home, then they're going to be more likely to be able to use their voice if they're ever in a situation, and not go and like hide from it and try to just, you know, duck off somewhere. They'll be more likely to speak out to you if they feel, like Nakia said, you know, feel comfortable at home, not to ignore them, but to love on them and show them that you truly care about whatever it may be that they're going through.
Let me add, Greg, so don't feel like just because you're in a certain society, certain neighborhood, that it's not going to happen to your kids or they're in private school, because it happens to everyone. It doesn't discriminate. There's so much money behind this, and they don't target certain individuals. They target vulnerabilities. And that might be that your dad makes too money and is never home. It's too much money. So you're out there trying to find attention from somebody online. So it can happen to you, and it's happening in every city of every zip code. So don't think that it's not happening in your neighborhood, because it is.
You know, just I'm glad you mentioned that, Rachel, because I was just getting ready to throw that out to go around the block on this one. Was, you know, what communities are protected from this? And there are none, right? I mean, everybody is, as long as they have this or a computer, the world is open for them to come right into their bedroom and talk to your children.
Surpass the drug trade. You can sell cocaine once, you can sell a girl or her pictures dozens of times a day, and they've realized how much money there is. And so it's a criminal enterprise, $1 billion industry.
And you don't even
go ahead, Akia.
You don't have
okay.
Sorry.
Okay. I was gonna say, especially watch for people that are in leadership roles. Sometimes it's your pastor at your church.
Wow.
Yeah, it's government officials. Like, watch out for people that are in leadership, because those people, you think they're one way and they're not. And that's how we get so fooled. Like, it's what we say, it's hidden in plain sight. It's right in your face and you don't even know it.
Yeah, Heather, do you have a thought?
I was just going to say that you don't even have to have a phone and a computer. They're literally going to, you know, the homeless shelters, the foster, you know, homes, the malls, the schools, the functions, they're all this. So, you know, just keep a close eye, you know, don't be so, to just let your kids just go off, you know what I mean? Make sure that they're in groups and they're surrounded, because they aren't just looking on computers and technology. They're literally like, they're going out to these places.
And what kind of, and if any of you jump in on this one, because I know it's a real broad question, what kind of money are we talking about on a given night that somebody that's being trafficked is expected to bring in? What kind of money are we talking about?
So you're referring to a quota. So each person's different. A lot of the girls are given a quota of how much money they have to bring in before they're able to get their drug dose, before they're able to see their kids, before they're able to eat. So you can have $1,000 a night quota. I've had some girls, they have $100 a night. I got to make my 100. I got to go post. Like it's different based on who you're working for, what their requirements are, but there's always this quota, this money that you'll have to bring in before you can do X, Y, or Z. So it's different everywhere you go, but you can have 40, 60, 80 per trick. And it's just, you make different amounts of money for different things. So you just have to do everything you can to make that amount of money that you need.
Anyone else have a thought on that?
Yeah. Well, mine was more higher end. I mean, when I first was on the streets, I was on the streets, you know, it was very low end. Then I was able to move up to very high end. When I was going to Europe, I was getting $10,000, $20,000. And my traffickers, these were corporate pimps. They weren't getting money. They're getting these big contracts, these multi-million dollar contracts to fix the roads or to fix whatever. But they provide girls to the guys who are giving them contracts. So mine was on a much bigger scale than just your street prostitution.
You know, I can't even fathom, because you mentioned a while ago that somebody just flew you to Nigeria. Now you mentioned Europe. I mean, literally, they're sending people around the world to these functions and these events to sell these women to people that want to take advantage of them. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, anytime it's a major event. Like it's supply and demand. It comes down to the demand. The demand is the buyers, right? The supply is those who are bought and sold. So anytime you have a high demand, and it's primarily males that are the buyers, and it's primarily females that are being sold. It happens to both, and both can buy or sell, but that's the significance. So if there's a high area demand, like sporting events, major conferences, businesses that are high in those, that demand, they'll literally go to that. It's the circuit, right? They take them to different areas and they meet that demand. So if there's any major event in any city, even international, the girls get brought in, the boys get brought in, whatever the fetish is that they're being sold for online, they get brought to them. And these are high end clients. And so, yeah, like Nakia said, there's like, you can get $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 per night just from servicing a client who may have a wife and kids and this whole life over here, but he's got to be so discreet that he's willing to pay X amount of dollars to his chosen, you know, it's not their trafficker, it's their business colleague that's going to supply them girls and have 10 girls with champagne waiting in a suite while the business guys come back from their dinner and we're just waiting there. So it happens. High end, low end, it's there. It's happening. It's supply and demand.
Right. And all around the world. It's bigger than what people think. I was in the airport, in Atlanta airport, a couple of days ago, and a lady was like, well, trafficking is being forced. And I'm like, well, most of the times it's not. Nobody puts a gun to your head. You're manipulated into thinking that you're going to get a better life. And these guys just really see you as a piece of cattle, you know, like you're not even a human being. You're an object to bring more money to them. So it's not all the time somebody's forcing you in a white van, you know. So, I mean, it does happen, but a lot of times you're being manipulated into thinking you're going to get a better lifestyle.
Heather, when this started happening to you, we're going to turn the corner kind of a little bit with the direction of discussion, and you got out and you were free from that past abuse. What kind of aftermath, and I'll ask all of this, we'll go all the way around the circuit on this, but what kind of aftermath damage, shrapnel was up there in your mind, in your brain, in your relationships, in your trust and all that you had to deal with and then try to put back together in some form of normalcy?
You're muted, Heather.
After I had escaped from him, I still had that nightlife mentality, you know, that whole thing about that was the only thing that I can do to help me get to where I want to be in life. So I danced in strip clubs for a long time afterwards, for about 3 or 4 years afterwards, because that's all I knew. You know what I mean? That was the quickest way I could get the money that I needed, I thought, to be able to get my family to where I thought they needed to be. So I constantly was still trying to find my worth in a man, you know? some man somewhere is going to validate me and is going to make me feel better about myself. Just anxiety, trust issues, you know, like just about every relationship that I was in, whether it was with a man, whether it was friendships, mom, sisters, cousins, whatever it would be, it was just, I didn't trust them. There could be one little small thing they could do, and I swore they was out to get me, you know? And it was so hard to function. There were so many times that I just wanted to stay in the house. And of course the drugs came back, you know, and it was just, it's hard. And some days those thoughts still come through, you know, like it's just, I think it's just a constant ever evolving healing battle that we go through on a day, sometimes a daily basis.
Still today. Yeah. Nakia?
For me, I'm a mom, so I would get attached to these guys who I thought could complete my family, and they were abusers. And I even got one point where I was involved in a very abusive relationship, and my son was taken away by CPS, and I had to fight like for almost a year and a half to get him back. That's kind of what really was my turning point, when I was like, hey, I know I have to do something better with my life, but trust issues, you don't, and even still to this day, I have trust issues with people, because you always feel like somebody's out to get you, you know, like, what, why are they being so nice to me? What do they want from me? You know, is that's pretty much me. It's the trust issues.
Yeah. Rachel?
Yeah. So I like to say that I'm not a survivor. I'm surviving. Right. And we've all, everybody listening, I'm sure we've all gone through trauma and struggles, and the struggles are different, but the pain is the same, and trauma is trauma. And so when you go through something, it's a part of you, and it's a scar that people can't see inside. And so you have to choose every day to function, to get out of bed, to be something different, and to not focus on those memories, but to focus on the dreams in the future. And so it's a process, and it's a struggle, and it's a choice daily. Even when, you know, I'm a professional, even when I hit rock bottom, you know, sometimes those demons come back, and it's like, okay, I'm struggling. Okay. I know how to make money real quick. No, you can't do that. But it's like this chaos that you have to fight, and you have to fight every day to do it. And you just have to say, okay, God, you got me this far. Let's see. And so it's a process. We actually just, as a part of helping to film a documentary, we went around the world filming traffic victims in different countries, and here in the US. It's called Surviving Sex Trafficking. It's on Amazon, but it goes through not just what trafficking is, but the journey after that. Once these girls are recovered, it's not just, and I didn't say rescue because there's a difference. So once you're recovered and you start again, there's this whole process. There's mental health, there's physical, there's all these needs and stuff that has to happen. And it takes a village and a community to come around and just love these girls where they're at and to understand without judgment. So it's a process and it's a journey. It's not a moment, it's a journey. So it's a lifetime of carrying that with you and becoming something regardless of.
Yeah, that's great words. Tell you what, we're going to take our last commercial break. On the other side of this break, I'm not going to force any of you to answer this question, but I want to find out how faith, did it have any part of you being able to deal with this and get through it, or did it not? And we're going to talk about that real briefly on the other side of this break. 888-627-6008. Hang with us. We'll be right back.
Okay, go ahead.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back. And tell you what, the last 45 minutes, the sun has gone down and night has fallen on Houston, Texas. Here at the Texas Medical Center. Have a great panel of ladies with us tonight talking about their experiences in human trafficking and being victors from that. And Heather, I think we'll jump with you because obviously your email is Yahweh Jewels. So Yahweh must have something to do with your overcoming, being able to be strong enough. Tell me what kind of role did faith have in your deliverance from this or your ability to be able to handle this?
Not alone, like I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't have made it through those days or those nights or those weeks or even months to where that was such a dark cloud over my life to where I couldn't do anything. I wouldn't have made it. I would not have been able to make it through at all. I mean, I don't know where I would be, honestly, if it wasn't for Jesus and my faith. I don't know where.
Okay, Nakia, you have a thought?
Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, my faith was, it was everything for me because there were so many days that I just wanted to kill myself. And I would always...
Did everybody feel that same way? Who had that ran through your mind? Everybody? Yeah, okay. Me too. I mean, okay.
Yeah, I wanted to end it. Like, why? Like, this is no life. Like, you know, just being in that very dark space. And it was me. I grew up in the church, but I, you know, just because you grew up in the church, I mean, you're, you know, you're whatever. But it was when I was just really on my own, and part of me, I was on ecstasy too. I was on addicted to a pill called ecstasy, and I went to church one Sunday, and I don't know if it was the ex or whatever, but I just heard Jesus talking to me and telling me to go up front, and I did, even though I backslid a lot, because if you don't have a skill, if you don't know what to do outside of the life, you're going to go back to doing it. But it was my faith in God that helped me push through. And it's my faith in God. I mean, God is everything for me now. He's the one who I depend on for everything. And he gives me direction. And he's my source. He's my lamp. He's my light. So it played a big part for me.
Okay, fantastic. Rachel.
Yeah, so being during the foster care time, I was put into a private Christian school. So that was my saving grace. It was really the only regimen and structure that I had. And even though I got looked at as dirty or like with shame, like I had the scarlet letter from religious people, through that religion, I found Jesus. And he was able to, you know, because I believe like that Jesus died on the cross and that his blood covers sins, right? And so when people called me a sinner or dirty or, you know, prostitute, like that, God like spoke to me in dreams, and he still does. And, you know, he said, when I look down at you, I don't see your past. They're separate as far as the East is from the West. I see my son. I see the blood of Jesus. You're covered. Every move you make, you're covered in his blood. And so I realized, wow, when God looks at me, he just sees the blood of Jesus. But when other people look at me, they see my past. They bring up months ago, years ago, they bring up all this stuff. And like, God's like, no, I just see my son. I love you. You're mine. You're forgiven. Forgiveness is yours. And he said, follow me. He didn't say, follow my disciples. And so I just keep following him. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to turn that pain into a purpose. And he's turned my mess into a message. And so he is the only reason that I'm functioning, is because it's for a higher purpose. And it's not about me. It's about, you know, kingdom living and souls.
Wow. That's powerful too. I tell you what, great. We only have a couple of minutes. I knew this time would go by. I remember the other day on the panel, it just seems like we didn't have enough time to hardly get around one round of questions before the time was up. I'd love to have you all back. Even if we want to do individual shows, I'd love to do that, to have you back another day. Last round through, let's talk about this. What's the one thing, and we talked about faith already, so we already know that, but what's the one thing that you would recommend if somebody is dealing with this in their life right now and they need, and I don't want to get emotional here, they need a touch of hope. They need a word of hope. They need something to take the next step to know they're going to get through this. What would that word of encouragement be for you if it's you and them right now eyeballing each other in a room over coffee? What would you tell them, that one thing? Nakia, we're going to start with you.
That you were created for a purpose. You are here for a purpose. And what the enemy meant to destroy you, that very shameful thing that the enemy meant to use against you to destroy you, God is going to use to bless you. If you just trust him, it gets better. There is that abundant life. Like I always say now, I'm in the land of milk and honey. I've made it out of Egypt. I've made it through the wilderness. And there is purpose for your life, and it's beautiful on the other side. Just keep pushing and keep trusting God. That's what I would tell you.
Fantastic. Great words. Heather.
Yes, I would exactly the same thing, that God created you for a reason, that you are so worthy and you are enough, and you were created for so much more. And God has such big plans in store for you, just to keep trusting him. And when you feel like you have nobody and you feel like you're alone, just know that Jesus walks with you every day of your life and you're never alone.
Fantastic. Rachel.
Yeah. Simply God understood and he understands, he gets it. You know, anything that you are facing or that you're going through, you may not be ready to leave right now. You may not want anybody to know what you're going through, but when you are ready, we'll be here. And we, as a collective of people who get it and understand and want you to have freedom, like we found, you might go back and forth, and that's okay. Don't give up. Just keep walking the next step in the right direction, but you're not too far gone. You are worthy. You are loved. There is hope, and you were made for so much more.
That's great. Any last thoughts from anybody before we go tonight? We have another minute. Any last thoughts anybody would like to share?
No, it's just, this is hard stuff to talk about. I mean, listeners are probably like, wait, what just happened? But, you know, it's the reality, though, of our world. And we live in a dark, fallen world, and you just have to keep being the light. And so giving us the opportunity, Greg, for us to come on, huge. It's a great platform for us to be able to, you know, use our voice that was taken for us from so long and be able to just give a message of hope and to join others. If you're listening out there and it touched you in some way, what can you do in your unique ability and your platform with your neighbors, your circle? What are you going to do now that you've heard? Because you'll never be the same. It's always going to resonate. So what are you going to do with it to make a difference and to be productive with that?
Yeah. And I would just say, take care of yourself. Self-care is everything. Take time to take care of yourself and quiet the noise in your head. Get out, take a walk, be with nature, watch the sunrise, go to the beach if you can. That's what really worked for me. Like, the ocean is my healing place. So I'm so connected to nature. So God gives us outlets. There's outlets that we have. You just have to find your outlet. Whatever you're passionate about, find your outlet and tap into that.
Heather, Paula?
Yeah, that was exactly what they were just saying when Nakia was saying self-care is so important. If I would have realized how important it was to take care of me, because, I mean, I can't really do much for anybody else or myself if I'm not taking care of me. So whatever that looks like for you, whatever it looks like for you to be able to feel like you're okay. And also, I just want to say that it's okay to not be okay. But
That's good.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I want to tell you what, thank you for being with us. And I want all the listeners that are listening live tonight, completely around the world, and it's going to be listening to this archives over and over and over, and it goes out to podcast next week on the iPhone and all those other different, I don't know how that works, but BBS Radio does all that for me. It'll be in the podcast world. If there's anybody that's listening right now, I want to let you know that I would put my reputation with any of these three ladies, that if any school, organization, Rotary Club, church group, any group that would like to have any of these ladies or myself to come and just share about their knowledge, wisdom, the red flags, the warnings, the how to protect yourself. I would trust any of them in any schoolroom, in any organization to come and speak. And I know they would love to have that invite from you. I haven't asked them if they would, but I'm assuming they would, because they do have a powerful voice now. Get in touch with me or directly with them, and I'll be glad to pass you on their contact information. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I feel like I have three new friends a couple weeks ago, but thank you for being with us tonight and sharing your stories. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As we do each and every week, and I think this week is even more vital, we always spend the last 25, 30 seconds. And folks, you've just seen stories of almost any type of community. And we found out that Houston is probably the award-winning number one location in the world for human trafficking. And if you're in this area, Pearland, Cypress, any place around here, chances are your children are being looked at, hunted, and being motivated and tried to trap into this kind of world. And I want you to know that you need to open your eyes. It's not a place in this world anymore to put your head in the sand and hope something else takes care of it. It's our responsibility to make sure our children are safe. Both men and women are involved in this, and we need to protect them. And as we end every program, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you have been through, no matter what you're dealing with tonight or what you're going to be facing tomorrow morning when you go to work or when you're going back on the streets, I want to let you know there's always hope. Dig deep, reach deep, and never give up on that four-letter word that is so powerful for each and every one of us, and we saw it in a powerful way tonight. Thank you for joining us tonight for Breaking the Silence. Join us next week for another edition live from Houston, Texas, of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Thank you for being with us tonight. Have an awesome week, and God bless. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.